Finally, Moses was beginning to feel settled. Moses had lived an interesting upbringing, feeling as though he lived between two worlds, struggling between two existences. One was remarkably privileged and sheltered, and another was connected to people who were bearing immense levels of hardship and oppression. Somewhere between these realities, Moses felt his identity being tugged back and forth in many directions. Moses was born into this kind of duality. Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, feared the Israelite people because they were growing in number and prospering in the land. So Pharaoh enslaved them. He oppressed them. He brought their lives into forced labor and violence. The Exodus story tells us that as the population of the Israelites grew in size, Pharaoh's fear and propensity toward violence grew in size too. Midwives were commanded to kill all the baby boys of the Israelites. So it was quite miraculous that Moses was able to live at all. When Moses was born, his mother saved him. The midwives saved him. They did something risky. Moses' mother placed him in a basket in the river, hoping that someone would find him and that he would be safe outside of slavery. And it was Pharaoh's daughter, of all people, who found him there in the water. Incidentally, though this was part of the plan, she asked Moses' mother to be his nurse for a while, but then she took the young baby and raised him in the family of Pharaoh. Moses was indeed privileged and sheltered there, kept away from the family of his birth and his larger identity. But as Moses grew and came into adulthood, more and more he began to see this oppression directly for what it was. He was troubled. One day, when Moses was a young adult, he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite slave, and in response, Moses stood up and fought that Egyptian. In fact, it got so violent that Moses killed that Egyptian. And he didn't think that anyone saw this happen. But soon after, he discovered that it had been known. And so Moses, often caught between two realities, needed to flee from both of them altogether. He lived on the run. That is, until he came to Midian. This was a new town. He met his wife and married into a family there, where he began to keep the sheep of his father-in-law. After all this, Moses was finally beginning to feel settled. But then once more, everything changed again. Moses may have thought that he was now out of view. But soon, once something caught his view, he would discover that he himself had been seen all along. And beyond this, his people and their hardship had been seen by the God who sees. The God who is. The God who delivers. The God who calls. Moses, finally feeling settled, was about to discover what liberation means. Because something did catch his view. While he was outside with the sheep, Moses saw a curious sight. He saw a bush burning. And yet, as he stared at it, he saw that the bush was not being consumed by the fire. What must this be? And so he approached it. And God had Moses in view. When God saw that Moses turned aside to see, God then called out from this mysterious bush, "Moses! Moses!" His name, his identity. Moses says, "Here I am. Here I am, standing before this God who calls and sees. Standing before this God whose name is about to be revealed here. I am." Moses did not fully understand this moment for what it was about to become. The voice of God says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Moses must have been stunned. Where is all this going? And God says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am the God of this sacred identity that knows you and sees you." And now Moses, who had seen the bush, hides his face, for he was afraid to look at this God who sees and knows. Yes, this God sees and knows. For God says, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them." God has seen and known all along. And now God is about to act. What a mystery. From a bush that makes no sense, to a God who is making sense and seeing this oppression for what it is. And now this God is going to act. And perhaps this is the greatest mystery of all, because now God says to Moses, "So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." What? "So I shall bring you, the one I have seen all along, to be present with and for the liberation of the people I have seen and known all along." Moses is somewhere between flabbergasted and utterly terrified. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" God's seen, God's known, God's cherished, and now God's called. The question rings so large because it is a task envisioned so large. Who am I? And the answer is filled with grace and compassion and vision and empowerment. Of course you, Moses. You are the one I have seen and known. Moses, caught between two identities back and forth, who knows them very intimately. Yes, of course you. Moses is being called to participate in the liberation of God's people. So there at that bush, God says, I will be with you. God says, my name is I am, presently. The one I will be, and I will be with you. Tell them, Moses, that the great I am has sent you. God says, I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. This is my name forever. This is my title for all generations. I will be who I will be. I will be a liberator. And you, today, unexpected though this is, will be called to participate in such a great liberation. Moses saw a curious thing, a bush on a mountain, and it changed everything. Oh, it humbled him. It scared him. But somehow, perhaps beyond what he has been able to imagine at this point, it also empowered him, for he is called. You know, some may look at a gathered church as something curious, something intriguing, something that perhaps doesn't make sense. I mean, who are these people, week after week, who gather together to proclaim hope, perhaps even when they struggle to feel it themselves? What a curious thing that is. Maybe we even feel that way this morning ourselves. And yet that curious thing, that small calling of where we have gathered here this morning, opens us to a large calling, because today God still is the one who God is. I will be who I will be. And mysteriously, we find God gathered among us this morning in the presence of one another. You and me, known, seen, all our stories, known and seen in their strange and wonderful particularities, this God comes to each one of us and all of us collectively and says, take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground in the midst of one another. I am your God, the God of your ancestors. Our ancestors, people who have names who we could probably share aloud even now. The God who has seen us and known us all along is calling us, because this very day God sees and knows the cries of the oppressed in our midst. Immigrants fearing that DACA is about to end in 2 days. Trans, queer, bisexual, lesbian, and gay people who have faced that ugly Nashville statement this week and wonder what's coming of this, even as it already wounds so very deeply. People who don't know where their next meal is coming from. People in Houston and Louisiana and surrounding areas who have lost everything. People who are grappling with the new diagnosis, or perhaps the old diagnosis present with them in a painful way. To whom are we called? to whom are we called? Because if the God of our ancestor knows and sees us, that God is going to turn us toward people that God sees and knows. And God is actually going to call us. Who am I? Yes, small us. Yes, to participate alongside others in liberation. The message is that simple and clear, and it is that profound, deep, challenging, and life-giving. So where has your curiosity been piqued? What do you see? How might God expand our entire vision and our entire story to enter this story of liberation today? How will God find us? How will God call us? May all of these questions resonate with us, remain with us, and send us forward to live in this way. Amen.